Good morning, everyone. welcome to EMP this morning. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for our health. We thank you for our safety, Lord. And we come to your word today and just ask that you would speak to us. Pray, Lord, for your presence over us today, God. And yeah, Lord, today that we will glorify you in our lives, even though if we are just staying at home the entire day, Lord, that we would worship you, God, and keep you in mind in everything that we do. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. Let's turn to today, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read from verses 1 to 7. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his household well, his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Amen. So in this part of 1 Timothy, as Paul is writing to Timothy, he's in the process of laying straight, or throughout the letters, he's in the process of laying straight certain issues with the Ephesian church, and he's instructing Timothy on what to do in certain situations. he needs to address issues of leadership in this particular part because of the problem that was introduced at the beginning of the book, where there were certain men that had come into the church or had were already in the church that were teaching strange doctrines, and they were wanting to be leaders and teachers of the law, but they didn't have true understanding, yet they still wanted to be leaders. And so Paul's like, okay, there's a problem here, Timothy. This is not only is it, or he's telling Timothy, you know, it's not just, I'm getting ahead of myself here. He's telling Timothy, this is who you're to look for when you are looking for leaders to lead this church. Because what Paul is actually, it's interesting with Timothy and Titus, one thing that he's telling them to do is you are to stay in this church and find leaders to lead this church and then move on. You're not supposed to actually be there forever, but find the church to, for the church to kind of keep themselves alive. The term that Paul uses, overseer, in verse 2 in the Greek is episkopos, and on Blue Letter Bible, that means bishop, or it can also mean a man charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly, any curator, guardian, or superintendent. Yeah, so a man, a person who is overseeing the church to make sure the church is run properly. I know in the definition I quoted, I said a man. So an interesting, a fascinating side point I did, I want to kind of just make upon my in my research of preparing for EMP, I read this fascinating article about how this passage does not exclude women from the office of overseer. I know there's a huge debate about whether or not women can be in not just positions of leadership in the church, but can the woman be a pastor, a lead pastor? And I had, yeah, there's this fascinating article that basically had the reason why a lot of people say that you cannot have a woman as an overseer was because in verse 2 it goes, the husband of one wife. So only men can be a husband. Therefore, only men can be a bishop, elder, pastor. And this article was arguing that it's an idiom to mean marital faithfulness and not just literal husband of one wife. So if you want that article, let me know. I can send it to you. It's actually a pretty good read. It's there's a lot of sources to back it up. So I'm like, that's actually pretty interesting. Anyways, there's a lot of things to talk about in this passage. All the qualities that Paul lists, what does manage your household mean? But there's two things in particular I want to draw out from this passage. And first, this passage speaks a lot about moral character. It's interesting if you read how Paul frames the qualifications of an overseer, it's really framed in this idea of like reputation in terms of character. In verse 2 and in verse 7, it's sandwiched by above reproach. In verse 2, it's talking about his reputation, this person's reputation within the church. And in verse 7, it's talking about this person's reputation outside the church. But both spheres, whether in the church or outside the church, they should be without reproach above reproach, so that they don't fall into reproach. So it has to do with reputation and how their moral character is demonstrated. So it isn't leadership or qualification for leadership isn't based necessarily on having money or achievements in life, but it relates to attitudes that we have internally. True, some of the qualifications speak on actions and things that we do as opposed to attitudes, perspectives, or how we think and conduct ourselves. For example, Paul says that the overseer should not be addicted to wine or pugnacious. But these actions, this particular action is speaking about, you don't want to be seen as a drunkard or getting into fights that break out when people drink, as we see quite often, because these actions reflect our inner, desires, or in this case, being addicted to wine reflects an inability to be temperate. Being addicted to wine and being pugnacious reflects an inability to be gentle and peaceable, like he says in verse 3. So qualification to lead is based on moral character than anything else. At least this is what we learn from Paul in this case. And it's interesting to see that age is not a consideration here. Because age was a huge consideration in Jewish society. Age is even a consideration for us as Asians. We respect our elders. We revere them. We lift them up because of their age. We come up with the term elders. The term of elders was actually a literal one because those in leadership within the community were generally older because they had more experience, they were wise, and this much is true. But yet still for Paul, age is either an afterthought or it isn't really so much thought about. But either way, the emphasis for Paul is moral character. And so for us, in terms of this point, when we think about leadership, just looking at ourselves, are we taking time to examine character when it comes to leadership? Natural gifts of leadership, whether they're charismatic, they're articulate, they got natural skills to get the job done. In terms of the church, these natural gifts of leadership are helpful, they are effective, and they do a lot of good, but it may not necessarily equate to effective leadership within the body of Christ. And the thing with character is that our true character takes time to emerge, as deception can be quite easy. Having gone to church pretty much my entire life, even for me, it can be very easy to fake character, to put on a good image for people to see, not because I want to deliberately trick people, but because I sometimes don't even know the kinds of things that I'm dealing with, and I want to put on a good face to even fool myself into thinking that I am good. I mean, This is how we are as humans. We think that we are good, and that's the deceit, the deception of sinfulness. And so character takes time to come out. But like Paul will say later as he writes to Timothy, character always, true character always comes out. In chapter 5 in 1 Timothy, he says, the sins of some men are quite evident going before them to judgment. For others, their sins follow after. So whether it's in this life or in the life after, all these things will come out. Our character will show itself. I mean, Paul is talking about sin, but everything will be revealed at the end. And for us, do we allow godly and righteous character to show itself? Do we give it that time to be demonstrated? Are we patient to see, like, you know, this person, or again, like ourselves, we want to be leaders. Are we giving ourselves or other people that time to examine, like, is this person, are they real, right? Are they authentic? Are they genuine? Because, you know, in our world outside of church, and even sometimes in churches, this is why you see a lot of, you know, there's people in leadership that fail because of character. But there's a tendency to bypass character because their gifts are so compelling. Or there's a job that needs to be done and this person can do the job. And it can be inconvenient at times to not get the job done, or just like, yeah, this person can do it, but let's just trust in him. And yeah, we should trust in people, but we should also look at character. But I don't, we should place moral character higher than, you know, or be very careful to examine that character. Diane Langberg, she's a psychologist, counselor. I forget the exact term, counselor. She writes in one of her books, it's not hard for us to become governed by such needs in terms of, you know, jobs that need to be done, or the work of the church or the work of God. And she writes, it's not hard for us to become governed by such needs. And it is a short step from there to thinking of ourselves as indispensable. So we look at, you know, the things that need to be done. I'm like, man, we need to do this and there's no one else to do it. Or whether it's I need to do it or someone needs to do it. So we got to do it. And therefore we begin to elevate ourselves. It's like, we are indispensable. We need to do this. And that's a very dangerous place to be as humans, because we begin to think like, there's no one else that can do it. I am qualified. And I think in that way that starts leading us down it can lead us down a difficult path in terms of leadership, where we start to think that we're the only ones that can do it. Anyways, so Paul talks a lot about character and how that is the qualification and how that is the thing that we should look at in terms of evaluating leadership. The second thing I want to draw from this passage is how we think about leadership in general and into our perspective on leadership. So, I mean, this, as I read this passage, I feel like man should really challenge how we look at it. And there's two words particular that I guess made me think about it. And we have to look at it in the Greek. The English doesn't really give us a full sense of it. That's why, I mean, Bible studies are great, because you can look at the context, the original language, what the original language means. You'll notice in verse 1 and in verse 2, the term overseer is used. And so for us, it's the exact same term, but actually in the Greek, they're two different terms. Similar, but different. So in verse 2, it's episkopos. In verse 1, it's episkope. So again, they're like, well, it sounds pretty similar. Like, yes, they sound similar. But in verse 1, episcope finds its root in episkotomai, which means you would think, well, maybe a derivative of oversee, of to rule, of to be a guardian, superintendent. But episkotomai, which is the root of oversee in verse 1, means to visit, to look upon in order to help to care. And so we see here there's a slight distinction in the definitions between oversee in verse 1 and in verse 2. And it isn't just this idea of authority to look over someone, but there's this idea of helping, of caring, of getting down to someone's level and seeing like, what is it that you need? And the way I read it, the definition of verse 2 is actually dependent on verse 1. Verse 1 sets what is the actual function of overseer, what they do. And verse 2 overseer is then carrying out verse 1's definition. So that's the first Greek word that sheds light on how we should approach leadership, is that it's to visit, right? You know how like pastors do visit, hospital visits or visit people in the hospital. That's that kind of function. And the second Greek word that sheds light on how we should view leadership is in verse 4. And it's the word manage. He must be one who manages his household well. So we look at it, we tend to think of, okay, you know, a household manager, someone who runs their household, makes it function well, efficient, kids are under order, as Paul talks about. In the Greek, I know we're having a Greek lesson this morning. In the Greek, it's prostemi, and it means to be over, right, to preside, but it can also mean to be a protector, to be a guardian, to care for. And again, there's that definition, that phrase, to care for, to protect. It's not just to manage as a manager might manage a business, but it's to protect. Paul actually uses the same word in Romans 12, verse 8, and he's listing out all the things the body should do. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, it is translated as leads. So a person who leads with all diligence. In reading the context, I know I'm not a Greek scholar, but just reading the context, I don't feel like that is the best usage or the best translation of the word prostemi. Because if you read the context of Romans 12, 8, it's talking about how all the members can serve the body. There isn't one individual who is highlighted as a leader, but all members of the body serve the body for its common good, for its edification as a whole. So as I read and as I just reflect on these terms and this passage, no, it's not that we necessarily need a redefinition, but maybe a different perspective to bring into how we think about leadership. It's, you know, yes, leadership is, you know, leading people and guiding people and kind of like being at the front. And, you know, we can think of like people on horses guiding cattle and herding cattle, like that is one perspective of leadership. And yeah, but maybe another perspective of leadership that we can bring into our thinking or how we think about it is, you know, really caring for the body of Christ. I mean, consider all the qualities listed out by Paul. It's all relational, how you interact with one another, how people see you. And it's not about doing these things, but it's a relational thing. So it's caring about people. And a question that I would ask myself is, you know, is my aspiration to leadership, is it so that, you know, I have authority to dictate matters or to put it in a better way, like, there's something that I feel like God really wants me to do. And, you know, if I had that authority, if I had that leadership title, it would be easy to do it. I could just lead people to it. Or is it my aspiration to leadership that I get to care for people? I get to get into people's lives and understand and show them like, hey, someone is with you. You know, God really cares for you. And I think this passage is telling us that leadership can also be the latter, that it is also about caring for people. It's not, you know, it's not just a title that we put on ourselves and then we can operate out of that, but there's more so a role that we embrace and therefore we become leaders. Now, what if we were to read Paul's instructions in light of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10? I'm going to read it. This is Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now that's leadership as Jesus defined it. And if we aspire to leadership, I would suggest for you to consider your willingness and ability to care for others. I had to ask myself this question quite recently, sometime last year. I'm like, am I really good at caring for people? Because sometimes I don't think I am. And there's hope in it. Even if we don't see the results of caring for people, it could just be because that we are not practiced at it. So therefore, we don't feel like we are good at it. Like God gives us all spiritual gifts through the Holy Spirit, and there is this imperative on us to practice them, to get better at them. What if caring for people is something like that as well? Like there is this great capacity to care. We just haven't tapped into that potential. But when we aspire to leadership, I would suggest to you, consider your willingness and ability to care for others. Are we willing to give up earthly notions of leadership, whether it's power, influence, authority, privilege, so that we can care for other people? Because that's how Jesus demonstrated his leadership, his headship. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. So today, in thinking about leadership, some practical questions that you can ask yourself is, who are those in your sphere that could be viewed as lower or weak or under your influence? And for those, how can you care for them in this season without, overexerting your influence or your authority or power? Because inherent in leadership is being able to exert our authority and power. But how can you care for people without, pressing so much into their space? What is it that they really need? Are you able to articulate what their needs are? And here's a good question. Would they agree to your assessment of what it is that they need? And that can be quite a humbling one, because I'm like, no, that's not what I need. That's not what I meant. That's not how I see things. I'm like, oh okay. And I've made this mistake lots of times and have to learn. I'm like, okay, to really listen to people and say, what is it that you're really struggling with? And that takes time. That takes care and understanding of people's situations and what they're going through. Caring for people, I think that's a huge part of leadership, and it's not just simply a title that we have. So let us reflect on that as Wesley comes to lead us in worship, and then I can close this off in prayer.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath he could ever breathe, we live for you. every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh. Jesus' name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Oh. And I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love. And I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside. heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Thanks, Wes. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, and we are so grateful and humbled by what you did for us, God. We thank you, Lord, that you humbled yourself, Lord, and that you care for us, Lord, that you didn't lord it over us, but you showed yourself an example of how you came to serve, Lord, to die as a ransom for many, Lord, so that we could be free. We thank you for your love and your care for us, God, for how you demonstrated your leadership, Lord. We love you, pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's continue praying for those in our community. Let's pray for those who have cancer and are undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and other surgeries. Let's pray for those in our community who are friends and family that are sick, that are ill with different sicknesses, infirmities. Let's pray for healing for them. Let's also pray for their salvation. Let's pray that God will touch their lives, that God will grant them the gift of repentance, and that they would know who Jesus is. Let's lift up those in our community with just non-cancer related sicknesses and illnesses. Pray for healing. And also pray for those who are just dealing with COVID. Let's pray for quick healing and that there will be no after effects and the spread will be no spread to other people in the family. Let's look at those in our community looking for a job. Let's pray for God to grant them opportunities and just open up doors for them. Pray that God would guide them and lead them in this time. Let's pray for let's pray for mission focus today. Let's pray for SB Singapore, led by Pastor Sam Kim. Spin, led by P. Salamat, and Spill, led by P. Ernie. Let's pray for these three communities, that God will continue doing his work in these congregations, and that there'd be such wonderful fruit from his work. Let's lift up the education ministry, SP Kids led by Lisa, SP Youth led by Donald, and SPU led by myself. Let's pray that all our students, kids, they would know and encounter Jesus at a young age. Pray for our prayer and healing ministries. IP led by Matt, the well led by River. The well led by Sarah, and River led by Rachel. Let's pray for God to move powerfully in these three ministries. Pray for local outreach, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Bridge, Recreation, and the evening outreach, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray that ministry would still go on in some way, shape, or form, despite all the restrictions that are currently in Hong Kong. And just pray for, as if people do go out, that they would stay safe and healthy. Let's lift up those ladies in SP who are pregnant: Hazel, Joan, Common, Fiona, Audrey, Leslie, Tyon, Winnie, others out there. Let's pray for their health, that pregnancies would be uneventful, and let's just pray for the moms that they would continue to grow even now in their motherhood. Let's pray for the house churches tonight: Cullen and West, East Bay, McRobinson, Olympic, Robinhood, Ventures. Let's pray that be a fruitful time of discussion, that people will grow and continue to be transformed by the word of the Lord. Pray for us to close. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the lives that you have given to us, and we are grateful, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would remind us to take time and to stop in each and every single day, Lord, to remind ourselves of the goodness you have bestowed on us, Lord, to look beyond our circumstance and to be reminded of how gracious you are to us. Father, today I pray that we would be able to stop, even if just for 2 minutes, to look for you in the small, minute things, God, of our lives, to remind ourselves that all the overwhelming circumstances pales in comparison to you. And in that moment, be drawn back to you, God. Be drawn back to your presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord. Pray that you would speak to all of us today in this way. We thank you, Lord, for your care for us. And in this time, with just all the different things happening in Hong Kong and this world, I pray, Lord, you would yet again remind us of your care, that you show us just how present you are in our lives. We thank you, Father. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for EMP today. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a great day.